Henry Ryan here. Welcome back. Malcolm Gladwell wrote several books. One of the books was called Outliers, in which he talks about 10,000 hours. That to be really good at something, you need 10,000 hours of experience. Now, he applied this to people like Bill Gates and his experience, how he got a leg up on everybody else at the time when the computer software industry was taking off, and so you have Microsoft. But you can also think about 10,000 hours of experience and what 10,000 hours of experience does for your calling to ministry. God uses our whole experiences, our lives. He sees us and he uses us where we've been for a purpose higher than we can even imagine. So we're going to talk today about how our calling is also connected in the 10,000 hours of experience that we have gone, experiences that we have gone through. Now myself, I knew the Lord growing up. I had beautiful parents, grandparents. My calling to the ministry came when I was 12 years old at my grandma's house. I struggled with sin like anybody else. But from infancy, I understand what Paul is saying to Timothy, that as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ Jesus. I had experiences growing up, the depth, the discussions at the dinner table, the reading the Bible, the connections where we ate every day at home, we read the Bible. I learned a lot of knowledge of Scripture. Yes, there were times growing up when I didn't apply that knowledge. I struggled like any sinner. And as a sinner saved by grace, I needed to come to that full grace of God is Lord and Savior. But that 10,000 hours of being raised in a home that loved the Lord was extremely valuable to me. But I can tell you that just because I had that 10,000 hours does not mean that I'm any more suited to make an impact for the Lord. Impact is through the Holy Spirit. And He uses us, broken vessels, even broken vessels who have known the Lord through most of their life. But you see in Scriptures that many come to know the Lord at different places, and sometimes the Lord comes into someone's life and disrupts their plans. We read in Acts 9 about noon, this is the Apostle Paul, he said, I came to Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, who you are persecuting, he replied. What's interesting to me about that is here you have the Apostle Paul, who is educated, and he's sort of like Timothy in some sense. He knows Scripture from childhood, but then he had a time of legalism. So he had hours and hours of growing up with the Scriptures, but his heart was not set on love and the kingdom in the way that was going to be used in a powerful way. He was off somewhat. In his mind, he was experienced at persecuting Christians. He was experienced at leadership. He knew the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He himself was a Pharisee. So he was a teacher. All of these things filled the 10,000 hours of his experience before he was called into ministry. Then we read that he's called into ministry on the way to persecuting Christians. Maybe that's you somehow. Maybe you've had a childhood where you know the Lord, and then you did other things, and you've got 10,000 hours and other things, and then the Lord disrupts your life, And now you're sensing the calling into ministry. Now, others, you may say, well, that wasn't my calling. I did my 10,000 hours other places. Well, maybe you were caught. What do you mean by that? Well, you've lived far from the Lord.
This woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. In our law, Moses commanded that such a woman must be stoned to death. Now, what do you say?
They said this to trap Jesus so that they could accuse him. But he bent over and wrote on the ground with his finger. As they stood there asking him questions, he straightened up.
Whichever one of you has committed no sin may throw the first stone at her.
Then he bent over again and wrote on the ground. When they heard this, they all left, one by one, the older ones first. Jesus was left alone with the woman still standing there. He straightened up.
Where are they? Is there no one left to condemn you?
No one, sir.
There was one woman who was caught in adultery. We read about that in John 8. Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? So here's a woman that's caught in adultery who is thrown before Jesus to trick Jesus so that they can have more charges against Jesus. And they put this trick before him. And what Jesus does, and you can read about that in John 8, incredible, is that he basically says to the woman, has anyone condemned you? No one, sir, Jesus said, or she said. No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Now go and leave your life of sin. I believe this is one of the most interesting passages, and it does not end how you would expect a religious leader to end a passage in those early days. And I believe it's as relevant today as ever. Many of you have done your 10,000 hours living a sinful life. You've been so far from God. Whether you're raised as a child with the Lord, whether you heard about it from your grandparents, and then all of a sudden, you are thrown into the path of Jesus somehow. And you're at your wit's end. This woman caught in adultery, we don't know her life story, but we know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders had the goods on her. And depending on what Jesus said, they were going to stone her to death. Many of you understand that. Many of you have had one run-in with death. Maybe some of you have been incarcerated. Some of you have been so far from God and so close to your own destruction. And you were caught. But Jesus caught you. Now, you may say, hey, I've left that life. Yes, you have. but you have been given 10,000 hours of experience. So you may be able to reach other people. You may never understood why you went through all this, but God still has a purpose. So you leave your life of sin, and God has a purpose for you. Maybe for you, you have just lived your life, and you haven't really thought too much about God. And maybe even went to worship services, and you've been in churches off and on, and for no particular reason that you can think of, maybe at a worship service, the Holy Spirit has called you into ministry. I love the Acts narrative in chapter 2 when the Pentecost comes. It's like this worship service descends upon Jerusalem. And you can read even more about this by going to Acts 2. But we read, utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Some people need to be called who just are average citizens in their country, who are wonderful people in many ways, and they've done their 10,000 hours of being regular people. And at some point, the Holy Spirit comes and calls you into ministry. And utterly amazed at God, at this gift of Jesus Christ, you are called. Some of you are called into ministry training later on in life, and you're here, but you have 10,000 hours of experience. And God is using those 10,000 hours of experience for His glory. Others of you have had a dark past. Maybe you were abused or tormented. We read in Luke chapter 2. And also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. There's a difference between living a life of sin and pleasure, and many of you who might have actually been tormented cruelly, maybe even through demonic efforts. Maybe these demonic efforts have made you cynical. You've contemplated suicide even. And yet, now, God has entered your life. demons have been cast out. And you're clear and clean and so amazed now. But I'll tell you, you have a role. You've experienced 10,000 hours of torment or abuse. You know, some of you have been sexually abused. God has a plan for you. You will understand someone's journey and how the role of Christ Jesus changes everything. Some of you have been abused through anger. Some of you have been so cynical on everything now, but God has entered your life and you are healed and being healed. But that 10,000 hours, God will use for God's glory. You know, I'm amazed at the stories of Christian Leaders Institute students and the callings. Maybe you were sick. Again, you were living your life and then all of a sudden you were struck by cancer. And it was a journey. And in that time, you received a lot of experience about what it's like to be sick and what it's like to need a Savior. That story of Lazarus is one of the most interesting stories. And Lazarus died and Jesus raised him to life again. Maybe that's how many of you have felt, that you were just so close to death, but you were raised up. And I love where it says, when he heard this, Jesus said, this is about Lazarus being sick. This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Maybe that's where you received a 10,000 hours of experience, and then your calling comes, and now you have insights. And then the Holy Spirit reminds you of these insights. To me, I see the plan of God, and the plan of God goes on in a mighty way of healing and renewal, and now you are part of that. Maybe you were one who was extremely legalistic. You maybe were raised in the Lord, or you knew God as a child, but you become very legalistic. And there are many who are like that and were like that. There are a lot of leaders who have been involved in churches. I remember early in my ministry, so there was a leader who was a Sunday school leader, someone who was heavily involved in the organization of the church as an elder. And one day he came and he said, I have encountered Jesus for the first time. And I've gone through all the motions, but it's just been religion. It's not been a relationship. In John 3:1-3, we hear about Nicodemus, a member of the ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. Rabbi, how do you? We know you are a teacher who has come from God. No one can perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. John 3:16 comes out of this passage, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Many of you were called to ministry, but you have been around the church a long time. And now the unbelievable, the incredible grace of God has changed every part of you, and now you know you're saved and you know you're ready to reach the world. But it's a different way you're reaching the world now. It's a way of reaching the world where not only are you saved, but you are a grace-filled person now. And all that 10,000 hours of church involvement will only help you. But now that fire is in you. You know, I'm fascinated by the journeys to faith. Now, Thomas was even one of the disciples, one of the 12, and heat shoots off his mouth after the disciples said, "We've seen the Lord." And he says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Some of you have done 10,000 hours of doubting the whole thing. And here you are. And you now have the vision of faith. C.S. Lewis was somebody like this. He was a major doubter. And he had his PhD. In fact, you can read his early works, and they have nothing to do with serving the Lord. So he did his 10,000 hours of doubting, and that has launched him. It launched him into a Christian leader in which we get some of the most amazing books like Mere Christianity and The Chronicles of Narnia. Maybe that's you. You've done your 10,000 hours in doubting, and now you are ready to serve the Lord. You know, maybe for you, you've always been just on a search. On a search. You've been going to church. You've been reading the Bible. You're searching. And even somebody like you, just a sincere, pious person, those 10,000 hours make a major difference. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot, heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I, unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Again, where have you walked before this calling to ministry? To me, this Ethiopian seems like a great guy today. Maybe he would have been someone who just went to church, maybe for many years. Maybe he had combinations of things he knew about God from a childhood, or he learned about God at a Christian camp, and he's been going to church, and she's been doing very well, and searching. Maybe somebody who opens the Bible up and takes note. Your Bible have underlining words. You are someone who's just, living for God. And then, in your search for more, more comes to you. Jesus Christ calls you. Now, what's so neat about your 10,000 hours is it's all over the map. Maybe for you, the application of the scripture where it says, some have this gift, some have that gift, some have this gift, and you have never found that gift. But that gift has been all about you your whole life as you're searching scripture. You know what I find so fascinating is that God takes us where we're at for His glory. And it'll be amazing. You could come from brokenness or just being empty and now filled, possessed, now have purpose. You could come out of poverty, have the experience of poverty for your 10,000 hours, and now you're reaching people not only who are going through poverty, but those who are not in poverty because you understand it. Maybe you were very alone and God called you. You felt unloved. You did 10,000 hours of being unloved, and now the love of Christ is in you. Maybe you hated others or were hated. I don't know your experience, but just like with Lazarus, all of these things happen for a reason, for a purpose. So you're here at Christian Leaders Institute, and why are you here? And I'm not sure why you're here, but I know God has a plan. This will be plenty of study, plenty of material to go through, but you're being trained. You're given another, in a sense, 10,000 hours. And again, you may not be here for a full 10,000 hours, but the learning that you are going to receive here will now start filling that next 10,000 hours of ministry calling, Christian leadership calling, life impacting calling, enterprise calling, bringing revival calling. I don't know what your past has come from, but I know your future is bright because you are on a path until your last breath. You are called by God to make a difference in the world.